Hey, I'm Natalie Abbott.
And I'm Vera Schmitz. We are sisters who host the Dwell Differently podcast.
We help you memorize and meditate on one Bible verse every month. And all month long on our podcast, we talk about what that verse means, why it matters, and how we can apply that verse to our daily lives. Hey, welcome back to the Dwell Differently podcast. This is your host, Natalie Abbott, and it's a wonderful day. It's the end of the year. And guys, we've done this to you last year, and we're going to do it, and we're going to keep on doing this. But we really want you to be reading your Bibles. That is what we are all about here at Dwell. We love the Word of God. We want you to memorize it, but we also want you to take it in a big swath. We want you to take in the whole picture, not just one little image from it. So today on our podcast, I have Tara Lee Cobble. She's joining me. She does the Bible recap. She's got a book. She's got a podcast. She's a speaker. She's a teacher. She's an author. She does all the things. But Tara Lee loves the Bible just like we do. And Tara Lee, welcome today.
I'm so happy to be here with you and your audience, Natalie. We are a bunch of people who love the Word of God, so
yeah.
I'm excited to talk about it.
I'm so excited that you're here because, you know, the Word of God is how we know who God is, and He loves us, and He made us, and He wants to be in relationship with us. And so how can we not, as people who love Him and believe in Him, be in His Word? So I hope that today would be an encouragement for you. And if you're listening to this later on, it's January or February, like, you can still do this year. You can still read the Bible and get into a healthy habit of spending time daily in God's Word. That would be our encouragement to you today. But just for those of you who are our regular listeners, the verse we're memorizing this month is Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 5a. It says this, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy." And that really is just like a little microcosm slice of what the Bible is all about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love it. And what a great verse to be committing to memory.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I just feel like it's such a great time of year. It's a great reminder as we're memorizing this verse about the kindness and love of God, our Savior appearing, to talk about what does it mean to read through the whole Bible and to understand sort of the context, the big context of that message of God's love for us and His mercy for us in Christ. But before we talk about that, Tara Lee, for those of our listeners who aren't super familiar with you, will you tell us kind of what you do and why you're passionate about helping people read through the Bible every year?
Yeah, I am just a layman. I've never been on staff at a church. I have never been to seminary. I am a bit of a self-taught theologian with a hungry curiosity for the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And I grew up surrounded by the Word of God and had all the access to it in the world, but never really actually read through it until a little over a decade ago. Mm-hmm. And what I came to understand was that it's not just important to think we know all the stories. It's not just important to think we have all the information. This is not just an informational, transactional type of thing. This is a relationship. And so I don't want to just help people read the Word of God. I want them to read it and understand it and love it. So it's not just about taking it in. It's not just about comprehending it. It's about falling in love with the God of the universe. And so everything I do is designed to help people find an on-ramp to that. So whether it is through the Bible recap, reading the Bible with us, whether it is through D Group, which is a network of Bible studies that I lead where we study the Bible, whether it is through Israel Lux, the luxury pilgrimage tours of Israel that we lead, whatever we do, it's all intended to help people gain access to more of who God is, to fall in love with Him more.
I love that. So one of the things you just said, though, was that it's not just about knowing all the stories in the Bible. Like, that's definitely one of those things I think that people would say is like, well, I've read the Bible before. I know all the stories. So why keep reading it again and again? Like, you do this every year. You do this every day. Like, this is the thing that you do and you're passionate about it. So why keep on doing this? Like, you did it last year. Why do we need to record new podcasts? Why do we need to keep talking about it again and again and again?
Yeah. Well, I have so many things to say because I get so excited by this question.
Yeah.
Because it's a question that I would have asked for most of my life.
Yeah.
And that question was born out of just a very simple misunderstanding. And it's sort of what we just talked about. My misunderstanding was that this was just to gain information. Mm. So I felt like growing up in church, I mean, I went to private Christian school. My family had devotions around the breakfast table at 6 a.m. Natalie, my first job was stamping names on Bibles at the age of 6 in my family's Christian bookstore. That was my first job. I'm surrounded by scripture. And so
I love like, that. Little Tara Lee stamping Bibles.
6 years old amazing. And on Saturdays and summers. So I had all the access in the world to the information about God. Mm. And that's really kind of how I treated it. And so I didn't think it was important to read through scripture because I was like, I think I got it. Like I know most of the important, I know all the good stuff.
I got all the Bible trivia that you need.
Right. Exactly. And like I could win the Bible drills, you know, when mm-hmm. we had those in vacation Bible school. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't until actually my second trip through scripture that I learned how this was a relational endeavor, how it was, you know, if you have a person that you're in relationship with, you don't just want to find out the basic information about them and then never speak to them again. You engage right. in a relationship with them regularly. Like it's called daily bread. That's how it's like for a reason. This is a daily relationship. And what's so cool about that is now, I don't know about you listeners out there, but I hate to be bored. I don't like it. I don't like things that I find boring. Mm-hmm. And so if I feel like I know something already, like we all have the grandpa who tells the story 50 times and you're like, I've heard this story over and over again. This is, oh my word. Like just,
Here we go.
or this is the joke that he pulls out with every new person he meets and just like, this is how you just got to suck it up. The word of God is different. Scripture calls itself living and active. Mm-hmm. And that means that there is always something new for me to learn about it. Mm-hmm. And not only does the Holy Spirit activate new awareness in me when I'm reading things that I've read 50, 100, dozen times, but also I'm in a new life situation.
Yeah.
Every time I'm reading, every year, I'm in a different situation in my life and there's something new that I'm learning. Mm. All of those pieces work together that it's like, this is a relationship I'm in. It's the most important relationship that I'm in. So I want to give it space in my life. And then also it is new. I am new. All of this is always revealing more to me about who God is. Mm. So I could talk for another hour and a half about that, but those are my basic short answers as to why I would say, yes, it's important to keep doing this, but I would also say like, I want to. It's not just like, this is important, but it's like, why do I want to keep doing this? Mm. And that's why I want to keep doing it every day until I'm in the ground.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's interesting because what we do at Dwell with memorizing only one Bible verse every month, it feels like, what are you going to talk about all month? Like, how do you host a whole podcast every week? Like, that's like 4 to 5 episodes. You're talking about the same thing every time. How can you possibly do that? Or write, you know, weekly devotionals that we do. And it's amazing the depth of the Word of God. And when we have like these brainstorming sessions that we do at Dwell, where we talk about like, what are we going to talk about all month long? And it is like, we never run out of material. We just get to it all. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about God's word that is just so different, you know, that when we, every time we read it, it's like you said, it's going to hit you from a different angle. Something else is going to pop out that you're like, oh, I never read that before. I never realized that before. Or, you know, you're talking to a friend about it and they have a completely different perspective. And it's like, well, there you go.
I had this happen probably 5 or 6 years ago. One of the most well-worn pages in my Bible is the page that Psalm 23 is on. Mm. Psalm 23 was, I think, maybe the second chapter of scripture I memorized as a child. Like we memorized scripture starting young. And so I was probably 4 or 5 years old when I memorized Psalm 23. When you memorize it, you say it a lot. And I have read it a lot. I mean, growing up in the Christian bookstore, it's on it's on all the bookmarks. It's on all that everything. And so I have encountered that passage of scripture maybe more than almost any other passage of scripture, except maybe like John 3:16 or something. Hmm. I was reading it 5 or 6 years ago, Natalie, and something entirely new and just worship inducing jumped off the page at me. And I was like, how? This is such a well-worn page in my Bible. I've got notes at all over the margins. Things are underlined and circled and highlighted. And how is something new still jumping off the page at me? And that makes me so excited when I learn something new about who God is, find something new in His Word. That ignites zeal in me to keep going, especially, and one of the things I do every year, when I read through every year, I have a different lens that I try to read scripture with. I will look for a specific, look to learn about a specific thing. So maybe it's like righteousness. Maybe it is prayer. Maybe it is like the roles of women. Just some new thing that I'm looking for, which gives me a different way to engage with God and His Word. And that will open up a whole new door. And it's important, I think, that we don't like try to overlay an idea onto scripture. That's not what I'm doing. I'm trying to like see, what does God say about this topic? What does the whole of His Word say about this whole topic? And so, again, you'll have a hard time shutting me up about why, like, why I think it's important to keep reading the Word of God. So,
yeah, well, we got more to say about it because I got more questions. We got more time. I would say this. This is one thing that I think is interesting, because you said this at the very beginning, that you're not seminary trained. You just love God's Word. So this isn't a question I had laid out for us to talk about, but it strikes me, what got into you that you were like, I'm going to start a ministry. I'm going to do a daily podcast. I'm going to teach people God's Word every single day. Like, what happened that you were just like, this is what I got to do with my life. This is so important.
Okay. So all that stuff I told you about growing up in the church.
Yeah.
I started doing ministry part-time when I was in college, and then full-time right after college. And so I was traveling around churches, colleges, things like that. And a friend of mine who was a pastor pulled me aside one day, and we were just chatting, and he was like, hey, have you ever read through the whole Bible? And I was like, I'm sure I've like covered it all. Like, I pieced it together over time. Like, you kidding me?
Of course.
And so he's like, you need to like start today and read all of it, and read it in the order that it happens. So you sort of get the lay of the land, like you get the chronological, the overarching meta narrative. And the first thought I had, Natalie, was, I don't want to. That was my first thought. I don't want to do that. Like, I've tried that before. I basically became a Genesis scholar because I would read Genesis so many times. And, you know, I would start off with all this zeal at the beginning of the year. Like, I'm going to do the Bible in a year. And then I read nothing else. So I knew, like, there are boring parts of this. And I knew that mostly what I would do when I would do a Bible reading plan was I would just accumulate confusion. Every day I'm rolling in and I don't know, like, why is this happening? And who are these people? And which of these laws still apply? And like, why do I need to read about boils and sores for 3 days on end? And like, why all the dimensions of the temple? And why do we have to read that a couple times? Like, it's just... genealogy. It's just boring and confusing. I'll just stick to the like comfortable seats, the well-worn seats that I know and love, the spaces that my Bible naturally falls to because I have bent it open to those pages. Like, that's where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to Proverbs 3 all the time. You know, the reason I did it was because A, I had a crush on him and I wanted to impress him. He was single. But B, he offered to answer my questions along the way. And so I knew that the problem of confusion was probably going to be no longer a problem because he's going to answer my questions. He'd read the Bible so many times. So he started answering my questions along the way. And by the end of that year, by the way, for those of you who are like listening to this, not before, you know, not conveniently right before the start of the year, and you're like, oh, well, it's April. I got to wait till next year to start my Read Through the Bible in a Year plan. No, no, ma'am. Every day is the best day to start reading the Bible. And so I started in August. It happened to be August. So I read through the following August. I had finished. He had answered my questions along the way. And this is the hard part of the honest truth of my story, is that I finished and I believed that everything I read was true. I believed the Bible was true cover to cover, and I did not like God. I finished it and I didn't like him. And this is why I said at the beginning, I don't just want you to read it and I don't just want you to read it and understand it. I want you to read it and understand it and love it. And the lens through which you read scripture determines the wisdom that you glean from it and the impact that it has on you. And so that pastor, because I'd been asking him my questions all along the way, he knew the lens I had been reading it through was me. Like, I was looking for me in scripture. And so he said, okay, Tara Lee, I have a new challenge for you. I want you to read it again. And this time I want you to stop looking for yourself and I want you to start looking for God. What does he love? What does he hate? What motivates him to do what he does? And Natalie, I was halfway through the Old Testament in the midst of boils and sores and all of these genealogies, and I was in love. I was smitten. How is this the same book that I just read and I have a totally different response to it? How? And so what I decided I wanted to do was encourage other people to read scripture and look for God. But I was just encouraging the people in my ND group, which is the Bible study that I lead. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at that point, there was, when I first started doing this, there were just one or two D groups, and now there are several hundred, but no one was ever reading through with me. Like, people would start off strong and then they would fall away, just like I did. You know, they were Genesis scholars as well. And so in 2018, one of the girls said, "Hey, you said the reason you made it through was because your pastor answered your questions along the way. Would you do that for me?" So I started answering her questions, and then she finished. So that was when I thought, okay, this is the ticket. It's not just like muscle through and read it. It's, you got to read it, you got to understand it, and you have to have a certain lens or you're not going to love it. For me, it was that walking Annabeth through the Bible the first time was when I was like, this is what I got to do. So I immediately set out to work on the Bible recap, and we launched. I had that conversation with her in September of 2018, and we launched the Bible recap on January 1st, 2019. And I really was just launching it for D group. I was launching it for, you know, like, I think at that point we were maybe 150 D groups around the world. And I was thinking I would like for maybe 300 people to read the Bible with me. That was my prayer.
Yeah.
And I woke up at 10 a.m. Don't judge me. 10 a.m. on January 1st, 2019 to 300 emails. And so I realized, like, oh, there is a desire for this. There is a longing.
There's a need.
Yeah. So I did not know. I thought I was just doing something for my friends. I did not know I was doing this thing.
So, isn't it amazing what God does sometimes with something that you're like, you know, I just really want to help people memorize scripture. That's all we wanted to do. We're like, if one or two people do it, it'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. And then here we are, you know, 6 years later with Dwell. And it's like, holy moly, people need this. They need an easy way to memorize scripture. People need a helpful friend to walk them through the hard parts of the Bible. Like, that's exactly what you're doing for us. Mm-hmm. When we listen to you, we're like, there are so many parts of the Bible, like you said, that are like, I don't understand. But when someone explains it to you, you're like, now I see.
Right.
And it's a really difficult thing and a tedious thing, a laborsome thing that we do, and we do it by ourselves. Cause we're like, you know, and where are we looking? Are we Googling that? Where do we go? Yeah. You know, like, where do we go for this answer?
And some of them are questions that I think maybe people feel a little scared to ask. Like, is it okay to ask this question?
Yeah. It feels like God is mean in this passage. What do I do with that?
Or this feels like it contradicts what we read 3 days ago. Like, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And then he said, I don't come to bring peace, but a sword. So like, which is it, Jesus? You want peace or not? You know? And so to have somebody who, you know, I'm trying to go ahead of people and like assume the questions that they might have as they read the text and then make those connections for them so that they're getting their answers every day. And every day, instead of accumulating confusion, they're accumulating understanding.
That is just so invaluable. I really feel like you really hit the nail on the head when you're like, oh my gosh, I opened up 300 emails that first day. It's just such a confirmation that we want to know God. We want to understand his word. And yet, you know, not everybody has the time or the access or the understanding. And it's really helpful to have somebody who says, oh, I'll read that with you. Oh, I'll answer your questions for you.
And what's so cool, you know, scripture was never meant to be a solo endeavor. Now, absolutely, we should be in the word individually, but scripture historically has mostly been a communal experience. Paul wrote one letter and they read it in front of the whole church, you know, like they would, they would. And so it was, for the longest time, the printing press didn't exist. People couldn't read. Like, just various reasons that people did not have an individual Bible. So the two things that we're talking about here, where we're engaging with scripture with other people who have maybe been through it more than us, and also where we are memorizing scripture to hide it in our hearts, to carry it with us, both of those things were vital aspects of the early church, the memorization of scripture and the reading of scripture alongside someone else.
Yeah.
So I love that you and I get to engage in these ancient practices alongside all the listeners out there who long for the word of God.
Yeah, it's just so good. Okay, so here's a really practical question. Can you tell our listeners about a time when you were surprised by something that you otherwise thought was just like totally boring? So like you've talked about boils, was there a time, can you think of a time where you were just like, this genealogy or this, you know, I do think that there have been times in my own Bible reading where it's like, I almost don't want to share what has encouraged me in the word right now because it seems really weird, you know, because it's like, actually it's this story and it happened like this. And I know it's a weird story and this happened in it and it doesn't kind of make sense. But the way that I'm understanding it now, it's almost like it takes a long time to get to the punchline, where it's like some parts of the Bible, I'm like, oh, like our verse that we're memorizing. It's like, when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we did, but because of his mercy. Like, I can say that to anybody and be like, isn't that beautiful? But to talk about, you know, Levitical laws with somebody, it's sometimes it takes a little bit of unpacking. But can you tell us about a time when something that otherwise would have been boring or mundane or odd, where you're just like, oh, this is where I see God in here, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. So many places in the Old Testament that it's crazy. If you are a listener of the Bible Recap, so we have the book for those who like to read, but if you like audio or video, we have podcasts and YouTube, and it always surprises me the spaces that I get choked up when we are maybe on a genealogy day. Maybe it's in like the places that I get choked up in Leviticus and I'm like, what is happening to me?
Right.
So I will save those specifically for when you engage with that. You can meet me in those spaces, be surprised alongside me. But the one that came to mind, I didn't want to, we talked about this question beforehand. I didn't want to go find one. I wanted to just see what the Lord brought to mind today in this conversation. Mm. And the one that came to mind today is something that probably most readers are familiar with. And it's just, I wouldn't even say it's boring. It's weird. Like you said, like something that's weird. And it might just be something we kind of are like, well, that's, why would Jesus do that? That's kind of weird. That's kind of gross. It's a little bit. And it's when he heals the man by spitting on the mud and putting the mud on the man's eyes. That's kind of gross.
Yeah. And totally weird. Like, why would he do that?
It's totally weird. Exactly.
Didn't anybody have like a glass of water nearby?
Right. And like, I mean, you have also healed people by just speaking it. So why you got to do this weird, gross thing? Like, why can't you just say be healed and he's healed? Like, we know you can do that. So why are you doing it this way? So what's kind of cool when you read the story and you understand historical and biblical context is this is happening on the Sabbath. You'll notice a lot in scripture, Jesus does a lot of healing on the Sabbath. And that maybe seems weird as well, because isn't that breaking the law? Question mark. And so just to zoom out a little bit, God had his laws about what you can and can't do on the Sabbath. And then the religious leaders of that day, let's say God made the speed limit 45. The religious leaders were like, hey, well, what if your odometer is broken? We don't want you to accidentally break God's law, because if your odometer is broken and it's registering that you're going 40 when you're actually going 50, you might be breaking God's law. So we need to make the speed limit actually 30 so that you don't accidentally go 45. So they would create all these new laws, and they would call that building a fence around the law. They were trying to protect the law. So a popular profession in Jesus' day was a brick mason. And to make bricks, you would combine water and dirt. And so in order to prevent people from working on the Sabbath, they would say you can't combine water and dirt on the Sabbath. So you can't spit on dirt on the Sabbath. That's illegal. That's considered working, to spit on dirt. Now you can spit on a rock, but you can't spit on dirt.
I love it.
Right? And they started treating their weirdo bonus laws, they're like, you know, they're building their fence around the law. They started treating that fence like it was the law. So they started ticketing people for going 30 in a 45. Mm. And when the speed limit is 45. And so Jesus, what he would do is he would cruise at 40 and he'd be like, I'm not breaking the law. I'm not breaking the law. I'm not breaking the law. These are all your man-made laws. And so he would sort of do this thing where I say he kind of like throws a fence over, or throws a leg over the fence and like straddles the fence to show them this fence is not God's law. And if it were, I couldn't do these miraculous things that I'm doing. And so this God man who could have absolutely healed that person with a thought, wouldn't even have to speak it, could think it, and the man is healed. He decides to show them that I am breaking your man-made rules with this weird kind of gross thing, but it is to show the power and the glory of God and to show that God is attentive to this man in this space to bring healing in a space where you have brought restriction and you have brought oppression. And it's just so beautiful to see that Jesus, all these little details in scripture that maybe were alienating or weird or curious, when we dig into it, we see the beauty and the love, just all the texture of God's love for us. Mm. And I just love seeing stories like that come alive. And it's crazy, but there is some stuff like that in Levitical law and boils and sores and genealogies. Mm. And that's just a tidbit of it.
Well, I love that, Tara Lee. First off, I just love that story. I think that's beautiful. And I appreciate you sharing that with us, because I think that really does portray the heart of Jesus for us. Mm-hmm. But I love that when there's something that you come up against in the Bible and you're like, what? I don't get this. There's an answer. Mm-hmm. There's always a good answer. Mm-hmm. And I just appreciate you taking us to the answer and, mm-hmm. and answering those questions in a way that helps us then have the barrier of unbelief or discord in our soul when we read something. Because there are times when you read something and you're like, this makes me feel uncomfortable. If this mm-hmm. is what I think it is, then I don't want to believe that about God.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that would be more of an extreme case. But even just that sort of disgust with like, why did he spit? That's weird. You know, to be able to remove that for us and to actually show us the beauty and the meaning behind that, so that it creates a sense of like, oh, I can have a heart of worship in this. Mm-hmm. I will never read that passage again the same way.
You know? Right? Isn't it crazy?
Yeah. Oh. I love that. I did not know that. That's mm-hmm. really beautiful. Okay. So I have another question sort of related. How do you then find these answers? Like what does your personal study look like? Because I know there's got to be a lot of it when you're doing what you're doing, where it's like, I like you said, you look at it and you think, what question would I have? Mm-hmm. And then you try to answer that question. But where do you go to look?
So I have a couple commentaries that I love. I have a couple study Bibles that I love. I love a Greek Hebrew lexicon. I don't know Greek or Hebrew. And so I don't go too deep into that.
Yes.
But I'll do a little bit of research on that, just out of curiosity. Like, where else in scripture is this word used? Or I also have found, I've been to Israel 20 times and I lead trips there a couple times a year. And every time I go, I learn something. Either because there's been some new discovery that they've made, like all the archaeological finds that are happening, every time I go there, there's some new thing that they found that they're opening up that wasn't there 6 months ago. Mm. And so I'm learning something new that's adding to the information that I already have. And I'm learning something new about Jewish customs and something. Mm. So it's just, I have just a real curiosity to understand these things. And the more I understand, the more it lays the groundwork for me to understand more. Yeah. And the more it whets my appetite to understand more. But it's really just been like being a student of when you have a question, like dig into it. And so we live in the most scripture saturated society in the history of the world. We have access to tools that for centuries no one has had. Like if you're listening to this or watching this right now, you have access to all of the study Bible tools you could ever make use of in your whole life, and you still wouldn't come to anywhere close to getting to the end of them. And they're free.
Yeah.
They're free online.
Yeah.
And I mean, Bible Gateway has tons of stuff. Like, yes, mm-hmm. you can get the expensive logo software. You can absolutely do that. But Bible Gateway has stuff for free. It's just incredible, the number of study Bibles. Like my favorite one that I used a lot during researching for the Bible Recap was called the Faith Life Study Bible. Mm. It's been acquired, I think, by Biblia now. And so I think it's just like biblia.org, and you can access the Faith Life Study Bible. And it is a wealth of information and cross-references. And that is usually my first go-to. And then I love a good commentary. And I also love to listen to sermons. And so I'll listen to a lot of Bible teachers teach me things that I don't know yet. So
I love it. Okay, Tara Lee, we have time for one more thought. And I guess I'd really love to close this out by talking to somebody who's listening. What would you say to them to encourage them if they're on the fence about reading the Bible, or if they've never read through the Bible before, or maybe they've read through Genesis 15 times trying to start a Bible reading plan. I know for me, my Bible reading plan is always like a 4-year plan. I never get through the Bible in a whole year. I'm just slow mm-hmm. like that. So there, like, let me encourage listeners that that is also a way you can do it. Not everybody can yes. do it in a whole year. Mm-hmm. But how would you encourage people who are listening who maybe feel like they're not quite there yet? I don't know if I really want to do this. It sounds good, but like, I don't know.
I have two things to say to that person. So listener, I'm with you in this question. Man, do you remember earlier in this conversation when I talked about how I didn't want to do it? Mm. And so I get you. If you have some hesitation, our hesitations might be rooted in different things. But for me, it was a lack of desire. For me, it was, I didn't want to, and I needed God to change my, I don't want to a want to want to, or from a want to a want to. And so I got to that space by just leaning in. So I would just encourage you, if there's any part of you that wants to, even if that part of you is afraid of failure, lean in, ask God to meet you in that space, and just give yourself an opportunity to see what he does, and expect that it's not going to go perfectly. I would guess that if you struggle with perfectionism in any area of your life, you have probably had an opportunity to see how your perfectionism has robbed you of some really good things. It has probably robbed you of some intimacy, some relationships, maybe feeling known, maybe some freedom and some joy. And I don't want you to miss what God has for you in this space. Do not let your perfectionism get in the way of you growing in intimacy with God this year. And also what that means is don't expect that you're going to understand it perfectly. Like even if you do the plan perfectly, I would say don't expect to do the plan perfectly, but even if you do it perfectly, don't expect to understand it perfectly. And certainly don't expect to understand it all immediately or even your first time through. Mm. I am still learning new things and I'm on my 15th trip through scripture. If you expect to learn it all right now, that means that the whole rest of your life is going to be boring because you're going to be just reading stuff you already know, right? So expect that this is a lifelong endeavor. And then the final thing I would say is everything you long for in life, joy and peace and hope and guidance and freedom and love, all of those things are found in their richest, most beautiful textures in him. They're found in him. And everywhere else that you go and you look for them, it's not going to come anywhere close to the joy and the love and the hope and the peace and the beauty that you find by getting to know him and reading his word. Everything you're looking for is in this daily relationship with him and his word. Get after it.
Amen. That is such good news, Tara Lee, and such truth. I really appreciate mm-hmm. that. Those of you who are listening, we're going to have a lot of links in our podcast notes because there's a lot that we've talked about today, a lot of resources. Tara Lee has a lot of resources that I would love for you to be able to connect with her to or connect to her through. But it just some really great resources. And honestly, like, there's not a better message than what you just said. And I appreciate your heartfelt call for us to engage with God and his word, because mm-hmm. truly that is where we find life and joy and peace and true meaning. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, Tara Lee, for joining us. Thank you for your ministry and what you have done, and just praise God for how he has ignited you with a passion to share his word with others. It is just always such a joy to get to talk with you.
Thank you. Likewise. And I would be remiss to say this. We're about to launch our kids line. We have
what?
Yeah. We have a brand new, our first book in our children's line. And so if you are a parent or a grandparent out there and you want, we have a book that's the Bible recap for kids. So
that's amazing.
So yeah. Check it out.
All right. Well, we will have that link in our notes. I know we have a lot of moms who listen to this podcast. Mm-hmm. So all you moms out there, all you grandmas, all you dads, this is for you. That's awesome. All right. Well, thanks, Tara Lee. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Hey, are you loving this month's verse, but you want a little bit more? Let me tell you, every week, we write a devotional email and we post it on our blog online at dwelldifferently.com. And you can also sign up with your email there to get it every single Monday in your Monday morning email, just a little devotional to get your week started off right. So go over to dwelldifferently.com and sign up for our weekly email.